Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you into the studio on tonight. I am excited about tonight's show. I always believe that there's a word from God for us every Thursday night, and I can't help but not believe on tonight that there is a powerful word from God for us on tonight. I tell you, Wow. You know, you hear the term, and I've often said the prayer is that I'm a living sacrifice, a living sacrifice. And as I was getting prepared for my show on tonight, and that was my prayer, as it always is that, Lord, I just want to be used by you, a living sacrifice, a vessel, Father, that I die completely to myself, but that your spirit will rise up on the inside of me and speak a rhema word to your people. This is always my prayer. And so one of the things that I just realize is that when we pray, do we really pay attention to what we're saying? Do we really pay attention to what we're pleading to God for in our prayers? Because I've been praying this prayer, and I say it, and it sounds good, and it makes me feel fuzzy all over, and I've seen it manifest in things, but I never really realized when I say that I'm a living sacrifice. I understand it tonight more than I've ever understood it throughout my prayer life, because part of being a living sacrifice means that you're dying. And when I say dying, it may not always be a physical death, but there's some stuff I'm dying to daily. I'm dying to my flesh. I'm dying to my own desires. I'm dying to my own truths. I'm dying daily, and it hurts. It's not comfortable when you begin to die, because in essence there's things that's being pruned off of you. If you could think of a tree, as those branches on the tree become limp, when they stop producing, when they become dry, what do? We cut off those branches, and what are they good for? They're good for wood that we put to manifest the fire, to increase the fire. You know, it's called firewood because it's dry. The best wood is that dry wood, because it'll catch on fire. It keep your fireplace going. If you got potbelly stoves, I don't know if they make those anymore, but it keep it going. But those branches are cut off. They're no longer any good. And I believe it's with us in the spiritual realm, that as we continue to grow, like trees grow, that we begin to get useless branches. Branches that are not producing anymore. Branches that are not pleasing to God. Branches up that were good in 1960, but they're not good no more in 1970. And so those branches have to begin to be cut down and cut off. So when my prayer goes to say that, Lord, I want to be a living sacrifice to you, I'm living that. Because when I get on these shows and when I give these shows, I am really giving these shows from my own personal experience. And you would never understand that when I minister these things, the more intense the show is, the more of a blessing the show is, the more pain that I had to process to bring that show to you. Not because I've arrived necessarily, but because I've gone through it, or I'm still in it, and I'm processing through it. And so we are to be blessed to be a blessing. And when God takes us through things, it is not ours to hold on to. When you have a testimony, that's not yours to hold on to, because it wasn't you that brought yourself out of anything, but it was God in you that brought you through that situation and that circumstance. And when he brings you through, he's expecting for you to pull somebody else through. And the only way you could pull somebody else through is by, first of all, sharing your testimony, and second of all, sharing the love of God. So tonight's show is about maturity, and I really pray tonight that it will be a blessing to each and every one of you listening in, that you have pens and paper, because I am going to go over some scriptures that I believe is important. But I want to build a foundation on tonight's show, because I thought my show was already written. The script was written. It was done. It was over with. And then I had another God encounter today. And that God encounter today just added more fuel to what I believe he wants me to give you on tonight. And so we're going to go into laying a foundation for tonight's show. And it's the title of tonight's show is The Measurement of Maturity. I'm going to repeat that. The Measurement of Maturity. And I want to thank God for God, and I want to thank God for the Holy Spirit on tonight, and I want to thank God for the people that he have aligned in my life that surround me, and they give me wisdom, and they give me guidance, and they love on me in spite of me. They love on me when I'm immature. They love on me when I'm having a meltdown. These are the people that he surrounded me with that knows my humanity. They know the cross that I bear. They know what I have to go through to get to where I need to be on Thursday nights, on Tuesday nights, to get to where I need to be as a mother. And so I just thank God right now for that support system that he has given me. So if you will with me, I'm going to set the foundation, and I want to start something. And my goal tonight is to present some things to you, not to change your truth, but my goal tonight is to present some things to you to make you think. I want to provoke you to thought on tonight. And so I hope that tonight when you hang up this call, that your mind is thinking that maybe I might change just a little bit of how you perceive things before. And I want to start off with truth. And I'm going to set the foundation. I'm going to build from there. But let's start off with truth, because oftentimes you hear the saying nowadays where a lot of us are saying, let's keep it 100. Well, what does that mean, Coach D? When people use the term, especially our youth that says keep it 100, they say keep it real. Just tell the truth about the matter. And that was one of my sayings. Everybody know me said, just keep it real, keep it 100. And what I found out through my journey, as you all know, I'm on day 40 of no meat, no dairy, no anything that comes from eyes. And this is day 40. And as I shared before, is that I'm not doing this to become a vegan. I'm not doing this to say this way of eating is better than that way of eating. I'm doing this because I am killing my flesh. I am telling my flesh that you've done whatever you wanted to do for the last 53 years. Your reign is over. So I am bringing myself under subjection, and I'm taking control of this flesh that has oftentimes gotten me in a lot of trouble. And I'm sure your flesh has gotten you in trouble too. If it wasn't for the flesh, I wouldn't be trying to lose weight. If it wasn't for the flesh, I wouldn't be aching in my joints and in my body. So I'm letting the flesh know that the flesh is not running anything. I'm taking back control of this flesh, and I'm going to begin to dictate to the flesh what the flesh is going to do. And the flesh is no longer going to dictate to me, amen? So that's what this 40 days is about. And I may do another 40 days. And who knows, this may really become a lifestyle for me. But what I will accomplish in this is that I'm taking dominion over my flesh, amen? So we're going to start with truth. And the definition of truth, we're going to keep it simple here. You know, we all know the Western definition. But even we're going to find that the Western definition of some words may not necessarily be God's definition of the word. Amen? So I'm going to give you Webster's definition. And it says truth, the real fact about something. And I want you to hear the key word in here. The key word here is not truth. The key word here is fact. It says the real fact about something. Well, as we all know, facts are subject to change. So if the definition of truth is the real fact about something, then that would tell me if facts are subject to change, then guess what? Truth changes. It changes from person to person. Your truth may not be my truth, and my truth may not be your truth. And the problem is that most of us have a mindset that when I'm telling the truth, because this is my truth, and you don't accept my truth, then we have a problem. Because how if everything I've been taught is about telling the truth, and then I tell you the truth, and you don't accept my truth, and I know it's the truth, then guess what? Me and you have a problem. We're not on the same team. There's a problem there, because just as my truth is the truth indeed, that person's truth is the truth indeed. Your truth is the truth indeed. Amen? So I want to just get this out about truth. And what I discovered in this 40 days is that if your truth and my truth is not lined up with God, who is the truth, then it ain't the truth. I'm giving you an example. The example I'm going to give you is you could take two different people. You could take Coach D, who says, if I don't eat for 3 days, I get a headache, my stomach feels funny, and I become dehydrated. That's my fact. Because every time I don't eat for 3 days, headache, my stomach feels funny, and I'm dehydrated. But then you could get Bob, and Bob says, man, if I don't eat for 3 days, I pass out. Well, I could say to Bob, well, that's not true. Don't eat for 3 days, you're going to get a headache, your stomach's going to feel funny, and you're going to be dehydrated. And me and Bob are now arguing because I'm trying to convince Bob that my truth is the truth. So I'm trying to convince Bob to do a 3-day fast. And I'm telling this all in his mind because I'm telling you what a 3-day fast does because it does it to me. But Bob is saying, no, I've done a 3-day fast. And every time I do a 3-day fast, on the third day, I pass out. So who's really telling the truth? They're both telling their truth. Amen? They're both telling their truth. So you see what I'm saying? That maybe truth ain't really the truth, because truth is only true to the person who's speaking that truth. And truth could change because truth is a real fact about something. So it's a real fact that Bob passed out on the third day. It's a real fact that I get a headache, have a funny stomach, and get dehydrated. That's a fact. But we know, again, that facts are subject to change, because the fact is that today I'm wearing pants. Tomorrow the fact is that I'm wearing a dress. In an hour the fact is that I could be wearing pajamas. But the principle of the matter is that it's all clothes. So that don't change that I'm wearing clothes, but the principle doesn't change that I'm wearing clothes, but the fact of what kind of clothes I'm wearing can change. And facts, again, is the real facts about something. That's the definition of truth. I hope I'm not losing you in this. If you hear this and you really get it, then you understand where I'm going with this. So when we're talking about keeping it 100, and when we're talking about keeping it real, that's our truth. When we're talking about somebody in sin, and we say it lines up to the word of God. Now, if it lines up to the word of God and the word of God says that stealing is a sin, that's the sin, and that's the word of God. And that, for me, is my truth. Now, that may not be somebody else's truth if they don't follow the word of God. If somebody is a Muslim or they're a Buddhist or whatever else that's out there, we got to understand as believers that that's not going to be their truth. So we could preach that and we could push that in them and we could fight them with that, but that's not going to be their truth. There's got to be a manifestation of a transformation that's going to cause anything we say about what our truth is as it pertains to the word of God to change their truth. So I'm saying this because this is going to take me into the measurement of maturity. This is going to take us into the other part of the show. But I could not go into the other part of the show without laying this foundation so we could start understanding truths, so that we could start understanding that just because we think Betty's jacked up, you know, just because we think Bob is jacked up, just because we think that, that's our truth. But it's not God's truth, because we see that God will use the sinner, and we see that God will save a sinner, just like he saved you, just like he saved me, because he's seen a different truth in us than what we've seen in ourselves. He's seen a different truth in us than what the world sees in us. And so just because I say something doesn't make it necessarily the truth, especially if it don't line up to the word of God. So that's the first thing. That's the foundation I want to lay. A principle, and let me just do this definition real quick, is a kind of rule, belief, or idea that guides you, a moral rule or belief that helps you to know what is right and wrong and that influences your actions. I'm going to say that again. Now, I'm saying this because I'm believing that the majority of the people on tonight's call are call themselves Christians. They're believers in Jesus Christ. But I may have people on the phone that's not. a believer of Jesus Christ, but they believe in something else. So this message is on tonight is for you too. It's for whatever, because the principles don't change. But what I want to get us to try to understand is this. A principle is a kind of rule, belief, or idea that guides you, a moral rule or belief that helps you to know what is right and what is wrong, and it influences our actions. So whatever principle you believe in, that becomes your moral compass. That helps you to guide on what's right and what's wrong. And what I found kind of strange is this. Not talking about people that don't believe in nothing at all, because you got people that don't believe in nothing at all. But I find it kind of strange that every belief system, even though it's not my belief system, has some various guidelines that are very similar to what they believe is right or wrong. Murder, well, maybe I shouldn't say that, because there are some belief systems that believe that murdering in a certain degree is right. But I believe that most belief systems believe that treating someone bad or treating someone unfairly is not a good principle. It's against their moral belief that you don't just do people wrong. And you'd find that in the Christian community, you find that in the Islam community, you find that in the Buddhism community, you find that in various belief systems. So again, when I'm trying to project my principles, my moral compass, when I'm trying to project my truth to other people, especially that's not part of my same belief system, can you see now why they have a difficulty receiving your truth? Can you see why they have a difficulty receiving your truth? Because your truth is based on your principle, and your principle is what influences your actions. So now that we have that understanding, and hopefully I made it clear, because if I haven't, you can always feel free to dial one on your dial pad, and that will let our team know that you have a question or comment. I'm going to take us to the meat of tonight's show, because I've already laid the foundation. We already came to, I believe, a general understanding that we all don't have the same truth. Even believers don't have the same truth. We should have the same principle, however, because we're all saying that we are following the teachings of Jesus Christ. So that principle should be straight across the line if you're a fellow believer. But our truths are going to vary, because our truths are based on facts. And the fact that's happening in your life may not be the same fact that's happening in mine. And because of that, we have to grow to a certain maturity level. And I believe on tonight, after tonight's show is over, that you're going to be in a different maturity level. You're not going to be operating in the same immature level that you were before, because I believe when we know better, we should do better. So I'm going to start with, as we define and get into these different, measurements of maturity, I'm going to break this down in three ways. I'm going to keep it simple, and I'm going to make it simple. I'm going to make it where you get it, and then we could go home. We're going to deal with me first, and the me is you. This is the individual. We're going to deal with the individual first, and I'm going to take you to Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. And we're going to talk about me. And when I say me, you're saying me. We're talking about the individual, the I. And it says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you." Now, I'm just going to break this down based on my understanding. You may get a different understanding. In the measurement of maturity, I got to start with me, myself, and I. I got to understand that I haven't arrived. And I got to understand that if your truth ain't my truth, then you ain't telling the truth. So I got to begin to understand this because I haven't arrived. Because the Word of God tells us that no one's perfect, not one. And so because it tells us that, we have to come to, we got to humble ourselves. And I believe what happens is God give us a couple of revelations and we get haughty. We get to become know-it-all. I know everything. Everything somebody else saying is stupid. It ain't the truth. And we become haughty and we become self-centered and we become prideful. And then next, you know what happens. It's the fall. So Philippians for me is saying to us, we have not arrived. But at the same time, we haven't arrived. But at the same time, don't beat yourself up about what happened in behind. Don't beat yourself up what happened in the past. Don't beat yourself up for your sins of the past. Don't keep holding on to that. But what we continue to do is we continue to look towards Christ. That we continue to move forward, that we continue to press on towards the mark of the high call, which is in Christ Jesus. We can't keep beating up ourselves about what happened in the past. And we can't be so haughty because that's going to come back to bite us. And that's where we oftentimes find ourselves judging other people or being critical of other people or knocking other people because we haven't humbled ourselves. And we haven't humbled ourselves. And a lot of times, it's not even about the other people. It's about us not forgiving ourselves for the mistake we made in the past. So again, Philippians chapter 3, 13 through 15 is saying, we haven't arrived. We had to go through the same struggle that everybody else had to go through. And I know that this is the word of God because confirmation came from me on last Sunday. And on last Sunday, the pastor ministered a word. And the word, one of the words that he ministered was, is that the hands of the devil is over our eyes. And it's not, we look at people and say, why they ain't came to the Lord? And why they didn't do this? And why they didn't do that? But the reality of it is it was only by God's grace that he removed those hands from your eyes for you to see and for you to come to him. And our prayer should be for our brothers and sisters is that, guess what? That the same grace that God has given to me, that he'll give to my brothers and sisters who have yet not to believe. So we got to believe that. And we got to realize that we came from where they're coming from. And we are saved by grace. So that's the me part of this. Now I want to get to the other part of this. So the me part of maturing is coming to the realization that you don't know it all and humbling yourself before God. And when you're out of order, keep yourself open to receive what God reveals to you. Because believe me, when you're seeking God and you're keeping a line of communication between you and God, God ain't going to let you act ugly for long. He ain't going to let you act haughty for long. Believe me, when you're in that spirit, he's going to talk to you about it. He's going to warn you about it. He's going to reveal some things to you about it. And the goal is don't ignore it. When God begin to reveal certain things to you, if he's gotten on you about an ugly attitude, if he's gotten on you about being prideful or haughty or ugly acting, guess what? He starts showing you that stuff. He gives you an opportunity to turn around. He gives you an opportunity to repent. He gives you an opportunity to allow that moral compass, that principle, that belief system to correct you. So he gives us that chance. And that's the first sign of maturity, when you know how to humble yourself and when you know how to hear God. When he's revealing things to you and follow his instruction, that's the first sign of maturity. The second sign of maturity is others. What do you mean by others, Coach D? Well, I'm going to take you to Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And Galatians tells us in chapter 6, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restores such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. We see our brothers and sisters, and we do have babes in Christ. We all know that in the natural, when you're born, you got life phases. You go through life phases. You go from being a newborn, an infant, to a toddler, from a toddler to a child, an adolescent to a teen. You go through all these life phases. That's in the natural. But don't you know that everything in the natural was spinned off from everything in the spiritual, that it was spiritual first, then natural? So in the spiritual, it's the same. There are phases. When we first come back into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and we are born again, we've given our life back to him, and now we're new, we're born again. We're a baby. We're learning. We're sucking on milk. We're still throwing temper tantrums. We still got bad attitudes. We still smoking cigarettes, and I'm not saying cigarettes. No, I don't want to. This is for. I'm saying this for a reason. We're still just doing things that because we're learning, we're growing. But you can't be a baby always. Have you ever seen a 30-year-old man still breastfeeding from his mama? Let me make it even more simplistic. Have you ever seen a 10-year-old still breastfeeding? Because if you've seen somebody 4 years old still breastfeeding, your first thing would be like, has she lost her mind? She know that boy too big to be breastfeeding. Are we not in agreement here? You know it. Because there's some life stages, and at a certain stage, a child is not supposed to still be breastfeeding. So if you are in your spiritual journey, and you gave your life to the Lord when you were 12, and now you're 53, and you still want breast milk, there's a problem. It's called immaturity. You're not growing. You don't want to grow. And what we would call it in the natural is, we would say that there's something wrong. And when I want to say something wrong, this is no disrespect to anyone. But in the natural, when a child is not developing according to the natural ordinances of growth, then we start getting them tested for mental disabilities, retardation, maybe motor skills, dyslexia. We start testing them for all these different things because they're not growing according to plan. They're not growing according to plan because if at 1 year old I'm supposed to be walking and I'm 10 and I'm still not walking, that is an indication that there is something going on, that there is a disorder going on in my life if I'm 10 years old and I'm still not walking. And so I say to you that if you've been walking this walk of faith for any amount of time and you're not growing, then there's something wrong. And you would have to really question yourself, where is the bottleneck? Where is the constraint? Why am I not growing? Why am I still stuck in the same place doing the same thing? Why am I doing this? Ooh, I know this hurt. And please, sit it through. And it's okay. Have an attitude if you want to have an attitude with Coach D. Because I had to live up to some of these same principles. I had to live up to, I had to go through this. Why am I still got an attitude? Why am I still angry about a relationship that's been over 14 years? Why am I still angry about who a person is or who I say that they are? Why am I still angry about that? Why does that still get up under my skin? Why am I still mad about the person in middle school that called me Big Forehead? Why does that irritate me? And we got to start asking ourselves, why is some things we still holding on to? What's the disorder? What's the defect? What's the retardation in that? Why are we not growing? Why are we not growing? And I think I just went on to a different thing, but evidently the Lord wanted to, for me to speak it, because we were talking about others, and we was talking about when we see our brothers and sisters trespassing, and we're supposed to be spiritually mature, then we're not supposed to be sitting up talking about, yeah, did you see what such and such did? Yeah, you know, she doing this, or he doing that. Yeah, how he gonna say, or how she gonna say she a woman, a man, a guy, and look, did you know that they still do this, and they still do that, and that's what we do in the body. I've been guilty, and if the truth be told, you've been guilty too. We've been guilty of judging people. We'll judge somebody because we see them walking out the liquor store with a bottle of wine. We'll judge them. And before we know it, by the time that person get to church on Sunday, they a wino, because that's what the rumor went around a lot of times out of our own mouth, because we didn't judge somebody. Never did we didn't know that they was making Alfredo and it required white wine for the sauce. Or we didn't know that they wasn't, or we didn't know that they was going to have communion and they needed their real wine instead of Welch's grape juice. But what I'm saying, the point I'm making here, and I made light of that, he said we always want to judge and we always want to attack people. And so Galatians is telling us that when we see somebody that's in out of order, we're supposed to be more spiritual. We're supposed to be mature. We're supposed to restore that person. We're supposed to restore them in gentleness. How do you restore in gentleness? By not attacking. By not attacking. By loving on a person. So that, first of all, most of the time we judging and want to go up and correct somebody that we don't even have a relationship with. And I'm going to tell you, as a mature Christian, you cannot come up and correct me and you don't have a relationship with me. Because a relationship brings a right. Relationship brings a right. And so if you don't know me, and you don't have a relationship with me, it's going to probably be kind of hard for you to come up and tell me that I did something wrong. It's natural. It's a natural instinct for people. I mean, you're going to get people being defensive when we're coming up and we're saying to them, oh, you out of order, or you did this. Well, you don't even know me. You don't know, and how the kids say, you don't know me like that. You don't know me well enough to come up and say anything to me. And so the Galatians are saying we're supposed to be gentle. We're supposed to restore that person by a spirit of gentleness. And it says each one looking to yourself so that you don't. So in other words, don't be so busy trying to judge what somebody else do to the point where you end up falling backwards yourself. We've seen it. We've seen it often in the body of Christ. We've seen major ministries. We see major ministries, men and women alike, that had major mega ministries that was preaching so hard against a particular sin, whether it was fornication or whatever that sin is. And I'm not going to name all of them because there's a whole lot of them. But we've seen men and women of God that preach so hard on certain things, and it's the word of God. But somewhere within themselves, the spirit of gentleness didn't exist, because we found that those very people fell to the very sins that they preached against. And Galatians is saying, be careful. Be careful how hard you want to come at somebody and be critical and judge them, because you might have to turn, because you may turn around and be tempted and be out of order too. And then it says to bear one another's burdens, and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. And that one right there, really, bear, I don't know what it would mean to you. And you will have to, that's the prayer you're going to have with the Lord. What does that mean, bearing one another's burdens? How do we do that? For me, bearing somebody's burden, for me, would be me being able to be there and love on a person and be able to hear a person vent. To be able to hear somebody cry out their heart, and instead of judging and instead of casting a stone, being able to just speak the word of God over them and be able to pray with them and help pray them through their situation and hope that my love covered a multitude of sins. Because that's what the word of God said, that love cover the multitude of sins. That's bearing. Christ bared our burden. How did he bear it? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I'm saying that to say that it was love that saved us from a life of sin. It was love that saved us from never experiencing eternal life. So it was love that died on the cross. That love that died on the cross covered a multitude of sins. And we're supposed to be like Christ because he lives inside of us. And if he lives inside of us, and he said that we would do greater things in him, then should we not be bearing our brother's burdens? Should we not be loving on our brothers and sisters and bringing to their awareness in gentleness so that the word of God and the love of God could convict them? I'm going to say that again, that the love of God and the word of God could convict them into righteousness. What's righteousness? Right choices versus us condemning them. That's another sign of maturity. So we went from the me maturity, understanding that I'm nothing without Christ, that I'm wretched, and it's only by God's grace that I'm even in relationship with Christ. Not by my power or my might, but because God loved Coach D so much that he removed my blinders so that I could see with my spiritual eyes, that I could see and receive the gift of salvation. And don't think for 1 minute, because that's what I was thinking. I'm something special. Well, I am special. But I felt like I'm so special, and I got it together, and God is revealing things in me, and he ain't and these people over here is sinning, and they need to do this, and they need to do that, and how could they do that? Well, guess what? God's grace was sufficient for you, and God's grace could be sufficient for them too. And your prayer should be, when you see somebody out of order, is, Lord, may your grace be sufficient in their lives. May they come into the full revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the maturity. And I'm saying to myself, I have not always been mature. I'm still maturing. I'm still maturing. But if we keep being immature believers, we killing the church. We killing the body because of our immaturity. And I said earlier that we are the only ones that leave our wounded out to die. I've never been to war, but I've heard through soldiers, when they're on the war field and when they're at war and they're out there on the field and it's war going on, and their partner get his legs blown off, they don't just leave him there to die. They try to get him to safety. They try to get him to a safe place. But we as believers, Christians, woo, let somebody get their leg blown off, and we kick him to the curb. Ooh, he's sinning. I knew he wasn't about God. I knew the devil was all up in him. I knew he was Antichrist. Woo, kick him to the curb. He no good no more. We quick to do that. We will do that to people. And we need to stop. It's called maturity. And lastly, I'm going to get to all. So we dealt with the individual, me, my, I, you. Then we dealt with others. That's how we deal with those around us. Horizontally. How are we dealing with people horizontally? Are we being kind to people? Are we being considerate? Are we being compassionate? Are we loving on people? Are we bearing other people's burdens? And then we get to all. This is you, me, them, they, others. This is all of us. And that's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 15 as well. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. And it goes on to say, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. So, in conclusion, what this is saying is that we have to become one. We have to become one. The Word of God tells us that God is coming back for what? One church. And it's saying until we all attain, become one, unity in, of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son. So until we become one and come into the knowledge of the Son of God, which is Jesus Christ, then we are mature as a whole. But it starts with me taking my, being accountable to for my role in the body. It starts with you being accountable for your role in the body. Don't you know that if my toe became infected with gangrene, it affects my whole body? So while I'm turned, and if I'm a part, if my toe, the only way that won't affect me is if that toe is not a part of my body. I'm saying this to say that when we have other believers, that people who have accepted Jesus Christ and they're immature and they're out of order, it affects, we better be trying to get them healthy. We better be trying to get them whole. Because if we're not, then we are actually, they're affecting us too. They're affecting the whole body because it's all connected. And gangrene spreads. We see it right now in the body. We're all affected by the decisions and choices that have been made in this world. Us as believers. I'm not talking about people that don't believe. I'm talking about us as believers. We know some things that's totally against our truth. And our truth is the Word of God. Not my truth, not your truth, but God who is the truth. We are affected. We got gangrene. And if we don't start maturing up and doing our part, playing our part, if I'm the feet, I better start staying strong enough to walk or run. If I'm the pointing finger, I better be able to point. I got to do my job in the body. All of us have a part to play in the body as believers. And you're supposed to be the best little toe you could be, if you're the little toe. If you're the shoulder, be the best shoulder you could be. We all have a part to play in bringing this all together as one. And we can't afford to criticize the thumb because the thumb went out finger popping. We can't afford to because it's going to affect us all. So we better love on the thumb. We better love on the thumb and love that thumb back to health. While the thumb is in the calf because it's been broken and it's in the calf, then the other four fingers better get busy and pick up the slack until that thumb heals and can get back into the game where we have a whole hand to use. We have to become one, and that comes into the maturity of man. We have to be more mature. We can't continue to keep being immature as believers and just doing and running amok and talking about each other. And, oh, my gosh, and I'm saying this, and I'm not being hypocritical. I'm saying this because I had to deal with this. God had to deal with me on some stuff. He had to deal with me on my own mess. And I'm just being transparent. I'm coming and I'm being transparent. I'm saying, hey, this is the revelation I'm getting from God, and I'm praying that it'll be a blessing to you as it's been a blessing to me, that we can't keep being immature. We can't keep walking around with bad attitudes. Because guess what? If we keep being immature and we keep acting like children, then guess what? We could easily be swayed it. we can easily be swayed to whatever doctrine because it's immaturity. Because, see, it's immaturity that will cause us to listen to just any old thing. Would you send your 16-year-old son up to a car dealership to buy a car? You wouldn't, because he's not mature. He hasn't lived enough life for him to go and make such a large purchase to negotiate a contract. Matter of fact, at 16 years old, even if you would be foolish enough to send them to the dealership, they wouldn't be foolish enough to have them sign a contract. That's why they require you to be 18, and 18 is still not mature enough to be signing a contract on a large purchase. Because it's not enough life experience to make that kind of decision. Just like as a parent, you probably get nervous and shaking your boots if your daughter came home tomorrow at 17 and told you she wants to get married. She ain't lived enough life to make that decision. Now, how some people got married at 17 and it lasted, that's the exception to the rule. But I'm saying she wasn't mature enough to make that decision. And so if we don't grow in maturity, as according to Philippians chapter 3 and Galatians chapter 6 and Ephesians chapter 4, if we're not growing in maturity and learning that this walk is not just about us, but that we're part of one body and we got to nurture the whole body in order for the whole body to stay well, then we're going to fall to any doctrine. And we already know right now, this is not Coach D. This is the truth according to the word of God. There's an antichrist spirit. He ain't coming. He ain't on his way. That antichrist spirit is here. And I'm talking about the spirit of antichrist is here. And antichrist, let me break it down to you, simply means that they don't believe in Christ. They are against Christ. And believe me, they know who Christ is. So they do believe he exists. And they do know the power that exists in him. But they ain't trying to follow him. And they not trying to let you follow him either. And if you're not mature, and if you're not studying to show yourself approved, and if you're not in the word of God, if you're not spending some alone time, you and God in you, or God in you and you and God, then you're not going to mature, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you're not hearing the word of God, you're not going to mature. And if you're not going to mature, you're going to be sick. And if you allow yourself to get too sick, then you're going to be too weak to realize when false doctrine comes. Because you're going to be so sick that it ain't going to even matter whether it's false doctrine or if it's the truth. Because all you're going to want to do is feel better. And false doctrine can make you feel better. Matter of fact, false doctrine will allow you to be in your sin and make it okay. It's a sickness. And when we're sick, and when we have allowed ourselves to get so spiritually sick, then everything and anything sound good. Everything and anything sounds good. We'll do anything. Amen. Furthermore, we also know, and we're coming towards the end, but we also know that we already defined what truth and facts and principles are. So we already defined that our truth is not truth anyway. We already defined that God is the truth, and we know that by the word of God. And as a believer, that's our principle. The word of God is our principle. That's our moral compass. That's what guides us. That's what directs us. That's our truth. And so if our truth is not lining up to the word of God, who is the truth, then remember, it's not the truth. So even when our truth is that I'm sick, oh, Jesus, even when our truth is that I'm sick, is that God's truth? Or is that just my truth? And we realize, and we define truth as the real facts about something. So even though I got a 100-degree temperature, even though I'm falling out, even though I'm purple, That's a fact about something that my truth is based on. But the Word of God's truth is different, and the Word of God's truth supersedes my truth. And the Word of God says that He sent His Word to heal my disease, and I'm healed by His stripes. And I know this is not easy. I know you prayed. I know you're dealing with illnesses that we prayed about and we prayed about and we prayed about. And in the flesh, it has, in the natural, it hasn't changed. But you got to believe that it's changed in the spiritual. And when we believe that it's changed in the spiritual, then it can begin to manifest in the natural. Because we could pretend like we believe, but if you pretend like you're cooking the cake and you never cut on the oven, the cake ain't going to cook. I don't care how much you pretend. If you put a cake in the oven and you pretend like you're cooking it and you ain't cut that oven on, it's just pretending. And you could pretend all day long. So when we pretend like we believe the Word of God and we really don't believe the Word of God, guess what? The Word of God is not going to manifest. I don't care how much we pretend. I don't care how much. His whole word, nothing but words built the world that we live in. The Word of God built the world that we live in. So we know that His Word is power. We know that His Word is productive. We know that His Word does something. So if His Word does something, why is His Word not working in our lives? Why is His Word not working? When we speak over people and speak healing, even in our own bodies, why are we not being healed? Could it be immaturity that we're pretending? Jesus said that He is the way, the truth, and the life. He said that He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. He is the truth. I'm just giving you some scriptures to know that He said He is the truth. And then it goes on in Romans to tell us that it goes on to Romans to tell us that, for what if some did not believe, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? That God forbid. Let God be what? Let God be truth and every man a liar. Let God be the truth and every man a liar. Ooh, just thinking about that alone, that means that everything that I think is truth could be a lie. And then last but not least, and I will close this out, is Isaiah 53. And I believe it's Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed our report? In other words, whose report will you believe? Will you believe the report of your truth? Or will you believe the report of the truth? Will you believe the report of your truth? Or will you believe the report of the truth? It comes to a time where we have to grow. It comes to a time where we have to come off the milk and that we have to get on meat. And I say this, and I've said it often, and those of you who know me or have followed Processing the Pain, is that the truth, even in, you know, the truth tells us where Jesus been. The truth tells us where Jesus been. But it's revelation that tells us where Jesus is. Because we're not serving a dead God. And I believe that we've gotten so caught up in what we believe to be truth that we've gotten stuck of the truth of the matter that Christ went to the cross. And He died. But don't forget the other part of that. He rose again. He's a living God. He's living in you and in me. He's living. And He's working through us. And He's requiring us. He's depending on us to be mature. He's depending on us to be whole. He said, be holy because I am holy. And I know that word holy sounds big and you get intimidated by it. But why don't you just try looking at it as holiness, being whole, not broken. And most of us are broken. Many of us are broken. Even ones that's carrying the torch that said, yes, I'll go, Lord. We're broken. And he needs us whole. Amen. So I want to step back for a moment. We have come towards the end of our show. If you're listening in on tonight and you have any comments or question about tonight's show, if you have anything that you want to add to, or maybe you have a pushback on something that I said, please feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment, and we will bring you in. We would love to hear your comments, your questions, or your comments. I just want to let each and every one of you know. We do have a caller. Caller, area code 951, last 4, 8370.
Well, hello, my sister. Good evening to you. I enjoyed this ministry tonight. The word went forth. And I like the part that, you know, as we're going through, and realizing that we all got stuff, and being able to go to the Father, and when He checks us, to let us know that that's not me. Now go back and apologize for what you said, or go back and repent. That's not the way that you're representing me. And when He checks us, it's a small voice, you know, and we know when we're doing it wrong. We're doing something wrong. And I like that part. We know. You know, it's not like we don't know. You know, we just, like you said, we just have to grow up. No more milk. No water.
No more milk. I'm telling you, He's, you know, like I said, in the natural, you know, revelation knowledge in the natural. If somebody was doing something out of age category in the natural, we would have them on. Mm-hmm. We would have them at the psychiatrist. We would have them going mm-hmm. through all kind of tests. We would try to find out what sickness, what illness, what disease is causing them this. You know, mm-hmm. is there mental retardation? I mean, they would go through a series of tests and processes to find out why they're not growing according to their age. And
right.
You know, but we don't, you know, and we got to realize if we're doing that in the natural, why are we not doing it in the spiritual? Why are we, mm-hmm. you know, why are we not doing that when we see people, you know, that's been on milk for 30 years? They still talking about they a baby in Christ. You know,
mm-hmm.
they, you know, there's certain things we expect babies to do. We expect, ooh, Jesus. We expect babies to fall out on the floor and throw temper tantrums.
Right.
You know, on the playground.
Yeah,
we expect mm-hmm. on the playground to see somebody cross their arm talking like, you ain't my friend no more. You're not my friend no more.
Mm-hmm.
We expect
okay.
that.
Okay. Yeah.
But when you're 30-something years old, 40-something years old, and you talking about, you ain't my friend no more, that's an issue. You know?
Let it go.
And so we got to let some stuff go. We got to grow. We got to mature,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we got to start measuring our maturity. We got to be willing to be accountable to the measurement of our
yes.
maturity. And
absolutely.
So thank you, my sister. Thank you for your comments. I really appreciate them. Thank you so much. You know, and I just want to thank the rest of my audience. If you don't have a comment on tonight or a question about the show, that's fine. I want to just say thank you for tuning in to Processing the Pain on tonight, the show tonight, the measurement of maturity. My prayer is for each and every one of you on tonight is that something was said that will cause you to make some different decisions, that something was said that will cause you to move to a point of maturity, to a point of growth, that you could let go of the old wounds, that you could let go of the old wounds that's causing bottlenecks and constraints in your life, and that you could move forward to be obedient to Christ and what Christ is telling you. So again, I want to thank you for tuning in on tonight. I pray that you will continue to follow MCD Network in this series of broadcasts. Again, we are excited. This is the first part of June, but we know that by July we have a couple of more shows that we're going to be adding to our network. And so stay tuned. We got some exciting things coming. Again, know that you are loved and appreciated. Have a good night. If I